Welcome to On Texas Football. It's the roundup. Bringing in Justin Wells of InsideTexas.com. Justin, team expert, recruiting expert, does it all for Inside Texas. Appreciate you joining us this Monday. Justin, over the weekend, Steve Sarkisian hires three special assistants or announces them. A couple of them we already knew about last week, but added Paul Crist to the offensive staff, Payam Sadat on defense, and Joe DeCamillis on special teams. What are your thoughts overall, Justin, on Sark going out and hiring these guys?
Well, first of all, it feels like he's taking a page out of the Nick Saban coaching playbook, whereas as you basically find castoffs that were head coaches at previous spots that were somewhat successful, obviously, with some of these guys, and then not necessarily head coaches, but, you know, they've got plenty of experience. Because I think they're in a position, Texas is in a position, a lot of these big schools, where you can't have too many good minds on campus. You can't have too many guys with finding a role, finding a niche, and be able to help out. You know, similar like a Larry Fedora and a Gary Patterson. They find that role. And I think Sark's doing that. He's trying to find a few guys that can help him in any way possible. We know how much Jeff Banks focuses on special teams. Well, why not hire one of the best special teams coaches in the country while he's available? You know, Paul Crist, there's a chance that he could tinker with some inside zone. Well, then there's no reason why you shouldn't bring him in the mix and let him talk to Kyle Flood and let them hang out for a bit. And this is Sark, I think, taking, like I said, a page from Nick Saban and other coaches that have done this over the years. And that's basically bringing in as many great minds as you possibly can. He's trying to stack that bullpen. He's trying to stack that staff, do, you know, go everything forward, balls to the wall. And at the end of the day, hopefully it pulls out an extra few wins at the end of the season.
Yeah, see, that's my point, is that I like the fact that Sark's not scared to add people that can add something to his staff. He's not. It's not about territory, right? Some college coaches can be very territorial. I like the fact that Sark's not being that way. I want to go into each of those hires, Justin. I also want to talk about the 11 kids that showed up on campus yesterday, because you were tracking that for Inside Texas as well. But first, I want to talk say thank you to someone that's very special to us. That's Laura Baker over at Keller Williams. She's a realtor in the Austin area with multiple years of professional experience. Laura's been a big fan of the program and also been an advertiser with us from almost day one. She's helped out a number of you guys already that have been moving to or within the Austin area or had to sell your house and move away. That's Laura Baker, Laura at andyallenteam.com, or give her a call, 512-784-0505. All right, let's go down this list, Justin, and really talk about them individually. Paul Crist on offense. I like what you said about inside zone. And so what I was talking about, and when I think of Wisconsin's offense, because Paul Crist, former head coach at the University of Wisconsin, former offensive coordinator at Wisconsin, former head coach at Pitt, he actually was up for, almost became the offensive coordinator at Texas back, I think, in 2012 or 13 after Brian Harsin left, but he got the head job at Pitt before he could do that. The question I have, and what I wrote today on Inside Texas, is he is really good at power run and at play action, right? How do you think that marries with what Sark wants to do? Because Sark is such a power run guy, but he also likes the RPO game, which is a little bit different. So what do you see Paul Crist bringing to the table that's a little bit different and could maybe add something to the mix for Texas?
You know, I think this offense would really flourish with play action. And last year, we saw it help because of a Bijan Robinson and a Rashawn Johnson. That's going to bring safeties up. That's going to test defenses. And so now with those two guys gone, you're going to have to find that recipe again. You're going to have to come up with that, because now defenses, they're not going to be as keyed in on a C.J. Baxter or a Jonathan Brooks. And so I think that the play action facet's going to be big. The fact that, you know, he likes to run the dang ball. You know, that's what my boy Ian Boy says. He likes to run the dang ball. And as much as, you know, when you mentioned Sark being a power spread, you know, power run guy, he likes to say that. He likes to say that. But he wants to spread it out and chunk the ball down the field. Either way, you need those linemen on key. You need them to be able to do any type of thing at any juncture. Kyle Flood has done a tremendous job developing the guys that they brought on, especially cross-training them and playing them at different spots and different positions. I think Chris will be a great voice to come in there and say, look, hey, you may can use this a little bit better. You may be able to sneak Jatavion Sanders out a little bit on a wheel route. You know, it's going to be one of those. I don't necessarily think he's going to bring one facet to that room. I think he's just going to bring a great mind. And it's going to be something that Kyle Flood, he'll put it together a game plan. He'll look at Chris and go, what do you think? How would you defense this? How would we counter someone's defensive on this. And to me, that's probably the biggest thing these guys can offer.
Yeah, I mean, short yardage situations from power. Because you think about Wisconsin, and I think about all those good run games they had and all those powerful backs they had along with those offensive linemen and getting that going, Justin. And so I feel like I don't know exactly, and I wrote this today, I don't know exactly what all of these guys are going to bring to the table, whether it's game planning, whether it's in-game changes. But I think it's just more one of those, another mind in the room, right, that can help. Next guy I want to talk about is, this is an interesting one to me. Payam Sadat, a defensive special assistant to the head coach now. He has a long tenure, 30 years or so in college football, and he's been all over the place. He's been a D1 defensive coordinator. He's been a FCS defensive coordinator. He's a guy that's worn a lot of hats. But from my what I'm finding out, he had a special tie to Jeff Banks, one of the assistant coaches for Steve Sarkisian. That was part of the introduction process. But Justin, the piece that's interesting to me in doing some research on him is he's a guy that likes to stop the run and limit the passing game. And so a lot of guys are man heavy and go at it.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that likes to stop the run and limit the passing game, which is very similar to what PK likes to do as an overall idea. The question I have is whether or not, and this is one of the things I read about him, he has some interesting ideas on pressure as well out of that, which I think anything that Texas can do to add another pass rush element to the game this season is going to help.
Stopping the run is going to be the biggest key factor for the defense in 2023, no question about it.
Because why do you think that, Justin?
Because when you can shut down one side of the ball, and that side particularly, you take away a team's manhood in some spaces. You take away a team's ability to control the tempo, control the line of scrimmage. Listen, whoever wins up front usually wins at the end. And that's the essence of what this is. You want to make sure that stopping the run is the number one thing. If you can't do that, offenses can call 400 different plays that'll torch you if you can't stop the run. Getting pressure, to me, that's a big factor because I think this team is set up to stop the run this year. Obviously, a great mind in there is going to help them out in a lot of facets. But generating pressure might be his biggest factor. Like, figure out the best way to get Baron Sorrell to the quarterback. Figure out the best way to get Ethan Burke to the quarterback. Justice Finkley, so on and so forth. Because that's the one thing last year, Bobby, I saw more improvement on the defense was from the quarterback hurries. Now, they weren't getting to the quarterback as much as they wanted to, but they were putting pressure on him. And I call it incremental steps. That first year, they weren't even getting pressure on the quarterback. Last year, hey, they started getting close to a little chin music. Now, that third year, you're hoping that you have a few guys, because some of those guys are still on the roster. You've got to distract somebody's passing game. It's stopping the run's number one. Getting to the quarterback is number two.
I mean, the thing
in defensive 101, and I think that's what Sadat can help with.
All right, sorry about that interrupting. So the interesting thing to me is I think that the first year in that defense, I felt like the defensive line played patty cake a lot with the offensive line. The second year they started going after him a little bit. Hopefully the third year they get there, and hopefully Sadat's a guy that brings one more tool to the tool belt. That's right. All you're really looking for. You mentioned those guys. If he can get Anthony Hill free, as awesome. All right, that would be good. All right, you know a little bit more personally about this guy because you're a big Cowboys fan, and I know you've watched him. He was a special teams coach for the Cowboys. This was the – and I wrote this today. I felt like this was the biggest flex of Steve Sarkisian's hires this offseason. A lot of people were paying attention to offense and defense. Who's the next Gary Patterson, yada, yada. They weren't talking about or thinking about special teams necessarily.
No.
Almost 30-year special teams NFL coach. Last two seasons for the L.A. Rams before – or the Chargers, I can't remember which. Before that, Dallas Cowboys, Jaguars. I mean, he's been a Broncos. Joe DeCamillis comes in and is going to be the special assistant for special teams. You know, you watched him during the Cowboys. What was his MO? What was his thought process that you followed there and you know about him?
The big thing with DeCamillis, I felt like was there was two things. He always found a punter from anywhere. I remember, I believe it was Chris Jones was one of the last ones, the kid from Australia, where no one had ever heard of the guy, and he wound up leading the league in punting that for almost two years. He always finds that guy. Secondly, he's all about coverage. He's all about his gunners working the sideline, working the angles, and keeping everything centered and using the sidelines effectively. I found it funny when we saw this pop up because Jeff Banks, we know how much he emphasizes special teams. And now you've got two of those guys in the room. And listen, if you walk into that facility and you try to talk about two phases of football, you will get run out because there are three phases at the University of Texas, and Jeff Banks is a steward of that. Joe DeCamillis, this guy's got Super Bowl rings. And that, to me, not just his intellect, not just his insight, adjustment ability, you know, finding guys for the right spots. When he starts talking and he's got these rings blinging on his fingers, people pay attention. Players pay attention. These young kids pay attention, which they should. And so to me, that's the flex I think you're talking about, because this is a guy that could have gotten a special teams job anywhere in the country, anywhere, a regular position job, not a special to the assistant. The fact that he took this spot, I think really actually shows how much faith these coaches have in Steve Sarkisian. I think they're showing they see something building here in Austin.
That's why I think it's a flex, right?
They're building something, Bobby. And I think these coaches see it and they thought, you know what? Let's jump on this train because this thing's going in the right direction. And Joe DeCamillis is probably the essence of that.
All right. Hey, another thing about him that I want to say this. One or two trick plays in a season off of special teams could mean one or two victories. Just remember that.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
And Texas hasn't necessarily needed that or done that much in its history. But this is a guy with 30 years experience. I'm guessing he's seen and done it all and been focused on doing it and knows what works and doesn't work. So I think that's going to be interesting. Just keep that in mind because a lot of guys don't have that kind of experience or coaches don't. That's a big one for me as well. All right. Before I go in to we talk about all those guys that you were following yesterday, Justin, about getting on campus. I want to mention this. Trill Carter did not show up yesterday. Okay. That is the defensive lineman from Minnesota that was expected to grad transfer. Well, I checked on that because some people asked me about it. He is expected to show up today. So don't worry about Trill Carter in Texas. He's showing up today. That's a big one for Texas. One of the last two grad transfers Texas is expecting. Also, Ryan Sanborn, the punter from Stanford, also expected sometime soon. He may even already be on campus. I did not check on him. But joining him yesterday, Justin, were 11 high school players. Their first days on campus as moving into their dorms. I mean, living on campus as opposed to just visiting. Derek Williams showed up. Ryan Niblett, the wide receiver out of Aldine Ike. Warren Roberson, safety out of Red Oak. Spencer Shannon, tight end from Santa Ana Mater Dei. Will Randall out of New Orleans, a tight end. Trevor Goosby, offensive lineman from Melissa, Texas. Jelani McDonald, safety. Athlete, really, from Waco Connolly. Vasily Akana out of Utah, the linebacker edge guy. Samaje Burrell, linebacker from North Crowley, Trey Wisner, running back, you know, whatever slot, whatever you want to call him, kind of all-purpose guy.
Gadget back.
Yeah, gadget guy. And then Billy Walton also from the state champion South Oak Cliff crew. All right, here's my question to that. What is their next step? You know, we saw the pictures. You know, they're leaving mama for the first time, all of that stuff. What's the next step for these guys?
Learn where everything is.
don't lose your ID.
Don't lose your ID twice, because somebody might put it on blast on Instagram or social media. Learn where everything is. Don't forget that. Don't hesitate to ask questions. The cool thing about them coming in the summer is there's not a lot of people on campus, so they won't be overwhelmed in late August when there's 50,000 people on campus. And so to me, I think that's a little easier to get your bearings when you're not trying to go through a lot of people, especially those first few months. Find you a couple players that you know you're familiar with, follow them. I remember talking to Keontae Ingram years back, and he'd say, everything is going so fast. It was right when he enrolled his freshman year. Everything is going so fast. I'm behind everything. I'm trying to just keep up. And I told him, I was like, just follow the guy in front of you. It's just like, just follow the guy in front of you, because you're going to figure it out. Just don't try to do everything at once. Get one thing at a time. Find some players you're familiar with. Find that small circle, and I mean small circle, and start to buckle down, because these coaches, this is their job. This is their profession, their livelihood, and your investment is part of their livelihood. And so it's time to buy in. It's time to buckle down. It's time to get to work, and you do it a day at a time. And so, yeah, a lot of these kids, their heads swim, Bobby. I mean, yeah, they swim. But it doesn't take them too long. Two or three months later, they kind of figure out their routine. They figure out that time management. And to me, that's the biggest factor. If I'm these freshmen, I'm finding the early enrollee freshmen, and I'm saying, all right, give me the checklist. I need to know what boxes to check. I need to make sure I don't miss anything. And I think that's an Anthony Hill and Arch Manning. When you got those kind of guys that enrolled early, use that leadership. Use that alpha. Figure out the best way to do things, because Austin can be anything they want it to be.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I tell you what's impressive to me, that all these guys showing up, and I know they're going through workouts next. That's really they're going to get acclimated from a workout perspective. Yeah. Torrey Becton, the strength and conditioning coach, and those guys will start with them immediately on that if they didn't start already with orientation today. But what's interesting to me, if you include Ryan Sanborn, I believe that makes 30 players that Texas signed and have now showed up. So Texas is basically, and you're only allowed 85 on a scholarship roster. So Texas has remade one third of their roster in a single year, more than one third of their roster in a single year. So when we're covering this stuff, it's actually impactful, because I feel like if we don't talk about it, people aren't realizing that there are so many new bodies coming in. Even when you're just talking about 12, 13 new guys, that's still sixth or seventh of your roster. And so I think it's very important that these guys get hit the ground running. I think it's great also because we've seen other times when Texas signs 25 guys and only 22 show up, Justin. So it's another one of those little things. They're hidden. There's hidden value there, right? If you sign 25 and only 22 show up, you're not really replenishing the roster. You sign 30 and 30 show up. That's a good sign, right? All right. I want to say thanks. I have one more thing to catch on, and it's recruiting related that we need to talk about. But first, I want to say thank you one last time to our sponsor, Laura Baker over at Keller Williams Realty. If you're looking to move to or from or within the Austin area, give Laura a shout. Professional, timely, really tries to do her best to listen to your wants and needs. Give her a shout, Laura at AndyAllenTeam.com. That's Laura at AndyAllenTeam.com. Justin and I, we appreciate her here at On Texas Football. Absolutely. Okay, Justin. Yes, Reiner Swanson, big tight end out of California, is going to be the first official visitor this weekend for the entire school year, basically, right? For the class of 2024. All right. Also, there's going to be dozens, potentially, of juniors, guys that are sophomores, going to be juniors coming in this weekend.
Yes.
We're going to go over some more of this in the recruiting breakdown with Jerry tomorrow. So I don't want to go too deep, but talk a little bit about Reiner Swanson, give people a taste of where that recruitment is at, and then also what Texas is trying to accomplish with this junior day weekend.
Okay. The first thing, let's start with Reiner Swanson tied in. I gotta be honest with you, Bobby. When we talked about Reiner Swanson last week, and I think you said La Jolla, California, and I corrected you with Laguna Beach. Okay. There's an old television show called Laguna Beach. Your daughters, I promise you, they know all about it. When I did radio last week, they asked me about some of the official visitors coming in. And I said, Reiner Swanson of Laguna Beach, one of Bobby Burton's favorite shows. It got more laughs and more interaction. I couldn't even imagine. I knew it was a good joke. I didn't know it was a great joke. It hit hard. So for whatever reason, that's what I remember now with Reiner Swanson with you, because of that little caveat. But really, though, Reiner Swanson, listen, Eric Nahlin's been on this one pretty well. Texas is actually in a great spot. They're just there's the whole LDS mission type stuff that you have to deal with BYU. Oregon was one of the earliest to the race, and I think they're probably a little bit maybe ahead of most of the other ones. So getting him on campus is going to be huge. But you know what? We know Jeff Banks. Jeff Banks does not care where you're at and how many stars you have. He doesn't. He's going after the best kids that he evaluates. Swanson's in that category, certainly near the top. Now, on June 3rd, and Inside Texas will definitely be there on campus. On June 3rd, I love what Texas is trying to do here. I don't think this is your typical camp. Now, every summer they run these basic, typical camps where you get some invited kids, and then you get some kids from the region, from the area, so on and so forth. They're still having those camps. I believe one's June 12th, and I believe there's another one in late June. But the one on the 3rd is different. This is called the Elite Camp, and it's not just called that. Because when you've got Devin Sanchez, the number one corner, possibly the number one player in 2025 from North Shore coming, when you've got Tiger Ridden, one of the top running backs in the country, Texas offer tailback out of DeSoto, when you've got these kind of guys coming, and you even mentioned it last week or a couple weeks ago, how it's almost like a de facto another junior day, so to speak. But you get to see these guys compete. This isn't going through the facilities, getting meetings, talking to admin. They're going to be out on the field. They're going to be at Frank Denius Field, and they're going to be competing. And trust me, that's what these coaches love to see, Bobby. So Sark has basically done it strategically where – he can get eyes on actual kids that they really, really want in one place at one time. This isn't like a satellite camp where there will be 400 kids lined up on two football fields. This is a particular invite-only camp. And I think that, to me, shows – that's pretty keen insight, because you're going to literally get to see these guys And listen, nobody wants to coach. Nobody wants to see these players in you know, more active than coaches. That's the best way they can evaluate them. Not only when they do things well, when they make mistakes, their body language, etc. And so, give Sark and these guys credit. The way they have finagled this, this June 3rd camp on Saturday is going to be really good. There is some serious talent. If this wasn't a camp and we were talking about a regular junior day in January, it would be fantastic. This would be a roster that you could, you know, be proud of. And I love Sark and those guys to come up with the idea, look, let's do these camps the way we do them, but I want one camp where there's nothing but dudes. Nothing but guys on our board that we need to – we may have one guy at three and one at four. Well, let's see how they separate. Let's see how they compete. And to me, give Sark, all those guys a ton of credit. I think it's a great idea, and I think it's going to be executed well.
I want to talk a little bit more about this tomorrow, but one of the things that catches me is Sark is notoriously judicious when it comes to offers and – more than offers, really pushing for commitments. Like, he's patient, in our opinion, right? Yeah. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens in the immediate aftermath of this, because that it would be, it's not that more offers might not go out or that, it's just how much is he really going to push for commitments when he knows these same guys have two more full football years ahead of them before they ever hit the University of Texas practice field. So,
and don't forget, most of these kids already have Texas offers. Yep. Not all of them. Not all of them. Some of them, the 2026s that are coming, they're trying to get that offer. And those are guys that have offers from other schools. A lot of these kids already have offers. But if a Devin Sanchez has a good trip, there's no problem bringing him into the office and saying, look, where are you at in your recruitment? We're not going to push you, but we want you to know you're up here at the top. And if you're having the experience we think you are, let's talk business.
Yep. All right. Justin Wells, InsideTexas.com. You can read Justin, my stuff, Jerry Hamilton, Eric Nahlin, Joe Cook, beat reporter Paul Wadlington, Ian Boyd, X's and O's on Inside Texas each and every day. Justin, thanks again for this episode of the Roundup. And for Justin, I'm Bobby Burton. This has been On Texas Football.